Blog Talk Radio.
She wore a jacket with three butterflies, yellow, purple, blue, blue jean overalls, and a long tennis shoe. I never saw her with him.
Again, and also thank you for the audience for letting me know about the sound quality so that I could fix that. Really appreciate, as always, your input there in the chat, whether the chat is coming from here on Blog Talk Radio, or for those who listen to the show and chat with me on Facebook. Thank you very much as well. And so, as always, callers and chat participation are welcome. And come talk with the host, the guests, and the audience members. And, of course, as every night, the mics do stay open. Of course, we'll let folks come in and have any comments or questions for our guest tonight. They can call it 347-945-7428. And so please come and listen, and thank you for coming tonight, whether you're listening live or you're listening to this now on the archives, which, of course, is available at your convenience, and share the archive with your friends and family and get this information out about this wonderful organization. So please listen and join Bars Logic in supporting cancer-free kids. Now, September is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and here's a little statistic. Of the 38 children who were told today that they have cancer, sadly enough, 10 of them will die. More U.S. children die from cancer than any other disease, and yet childhood cancer research is still extremely underfunded. Cancer for Kids is such an organization that funds that research. Of course, they do much more. And so tonight, come and hear what they do for children afflicted with cancer and how you can help, including their Courage the Lion program, where for only $10, you could send a stuffed lion to a newly diagnosed child with cancer, something I did not that long ago this evening, so it's really easy. We'll talk about more tonight. So, of course, together we can make a difference. And so tonight we have with us Alice Hoffer from Cancer Free Kids, and I will open up her mic. Thank you very much, Alice, for coming into the show. How are you?
Oh, Robert, thank you. I'm doing very well. Certainly appreciate your support, and thank you for this opportunity to get our message out to your listeners, as well as maybe address any questions that people might have with regard to cancer-free kids. You know, interestingly, I want to make this comment. Cancer, I know that normally your show has a political talk to it, if you will, but, you know, cancer has no political affiliation. I mean, cancer affects everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are, what sex you are, what you believe, but it affects everyone, and I'm sure everyone that's listening this evening in some way has been affected by it, and certainly as we go through our conversation talking about the children that are affected and why childhood cancer research is so important and how we have to get more funding dollars to fund that research so that no child will ever have to suffer from cancer, as well as some of the harsh treatments that have a lot of different side effects that go with it. So,
right, and I definitely want to we'll talk more at length, of course, about that later on in the program, because that's definitely something I want to touch upon, and that is something you and I talked about, you know, outside of the show here when you were just talking about one of some of the ways that kids are treated for cancer.
Sure.
First, as you pointed out, childhood cancer research is extremely underfunded, and Cancer Free Kids hasn't been around for a very long time. And it's great that someone has picked up the mantle and built this organization. So my first question is, when was Cancer Free Kids founded, and who began the organization? And kind of the story behind it.
Yeah, Cancer Free Kids, that's a good question. Thank you. Cancer Free Kids was founded in 2002 by Ellen and Sam Flannery. Their daughter was diagnosed with a type of cancer called retinoblastoma, which is cancer of the eyes, and she was 5 months of age. Fortunately, she's doing beautifully well. She's 16 years old. She did lose one of her eyes to cancer. However, it has not held her back from any from participating in sports, and now she's driving. But starting back when Ellen and Sam, after their daughter was free from her cancer, Ellen wanted to do something to help. Most parents do once their children have been affected by cancer and their family's been touched by it. And when Ellen was looking to find a way that she could give back and she could make a difference, that's when she found out that childhood cancer research was severely underfunded. And as a result, she decided to she quit her job and she started Cancer Free Kids. And the core mission of Cancer Free Kids is to eradicate cancer as a life-threatening disease in children by funding promising, innovative research that otherwise might go unfunded.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, we'll talk about even more later about how there's so much spent on, on adult cancer, even, so much more. The last time I heard was like, more than 90-something percent is on adult cancer, and then only, a much smaller amount, like 8% or something like that, if not smaller, on children.
Right.
And there are some startling statistics, and I briefly mentioned them earlier. It's about how many kids, per day are diagnosed with cancer and what the survivor rate is.
Yeah, unfortunately, of those 38 children today, whose parents and families, can you imagine whether you're a parent, whether you are an aunt or an uncle, a friend of someone, can you imagine that being told that your child has cancer and then having to tell this child that they have cancer and to try to explain to them what that means, and then for them to have to go through all the various treatments and the different things that children have no idea about, and the fear. No words can describe that overwhelming devastation and a sense of helplessness that both the parents and the child undergo when such a young life is threatened by this very terrible disease. Again, what we do is we believe that through funding promising and innovative research that every child's life can be saved, because it's not just about children, it's about all of us, because as I mentioned earlier, everyone has been touched by cancer in some way, and understanding childhood cancer really contributes to our understanding of all cancers, including adult cancers. And I can go on about that in a minute, but helping you understand a little bit more about Cancer Free Kids, we're kind of a niche nonprofit in that we fund very important research because it otherwise would go unfunded. We have a direct personal relationship with our researchers. We know them. We follow their research, we learn their results, and we see the impact of that research. Not too many nonprofits do that sort of thing. So, you know where your money is going, and again, we follow it. Does that kind of answer your question? Certainly, I will go
ahead.
On and on, and Robert, I don't want to...
Go ahead. We have plenty of time, Alice. You take as much
time
as you want.
Okay, well, let me... Okay, well, let me also kind of tell you something that's very unique and very different about childhood cancer research, unlike adult cancers. It's a cooperative effort, and it's a collaborative effort. Because it is so underfunded, more than 230 children's hospitals throughout the world, it's called the Children's Oncology Group, share their research data and the protocols so that they avoid any kind of duplication of effort and treat all children with the most up-to-date care. And this contributes to a shared success that's unheard of in the adult cancer research community. For example, if you are diagnosed with cancer, your doctor is going to treat you in a very different way than perhaps my doctor is going to treat me. However, children are treated with the same protocol. And because of this collaborative effect, many children are able to benefit from research that's not even done in the hospital that they're being treated with and for and from.
Yeah, great. And actually, you answered one of my questions I had for later on, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. And we could touch more and elaborate more on, you know, there is a definite need for, you know, organizations such as Cancer for Kids. And what is the mission? What does the organization, you know, besides the research, want to accomplish?
Besides the research? Well, that's our primary mission. But I'll tell you a couple of other things that are going on. I mean, obviously, research isn't warm and fuzzy, a tangible type of thing in some cases. So what we've done is we've got something called our Courage Project. And our Courage Project, I'll be honest, you haven't seen Courage unless you've seen a child that's battling this disease. Many times they've got these huge smiles on their faces and their eyes are still shining and have much hope in them. And what we've done is we have a little lion called Courage the Lion, and with every $10 donation, it allows us to provide this very cuddly, cute Courage the Lion stuffed animal to a child that's recently diagnosed with cancer. And it doesn't always have to be a child. We have a lot of folks who also send our Courage the Lion to just someone who could use a little extra courage for any reason. Maybe there's a family that's going through a divorce and a child is struggling. Courage, it's a tangible kind of warm and fuzzy little guy that a child can hang on to. Maybe you have a friend who's just been recently diagnosed with cancer, and it's just a way to let them know and reach out that you're thinking about them and that you're sending them that courage. Because many times in these situations, whether you're a child or an adult, you completely feel a lack of control. And there's so much happening around you. Along with our little Courage the Lion, we give all these little children something called a passport so that they can write in this little journal. They can kind of track the treatments and the different things that occur in their lives in that hospital stay. And sometimes it allows them to feel a sense of control, if you will. So what we've done is we've set up, I know texting is a big venue these days, and so if people want to text the word LION, that's LION, to 80100, you can donate $10 by texting the word LION to 80100. Certainly, I'm obligated to say that standard messaging and data rates may apply. But how this works, if you're unfamiliar with the program, is you would text 80100 on your phone, and then you're going to type in the word LION, and it will actually walk you through the process. And then what happens is that $10 will show up on your monthly statement from your phone carrier, that provides you with your tax deductible donation receipt. And in turn, you've also done something really nice and kind for a newly diagnosed child with cancer. So that's our Courage program. Something else that's very recent that, it's coming up. And this is not really in line with our mission necessarily. However, it's in line with Cincinnati Children's Hospital that we work very closely with. A doctor there had reached out to us, and his dream was to have pets around these children. And many times, and if you know any healthcare providers, a lot of healthcare providers sometimes sneak in family pets because a child might be struggling or it might be their last few days or weeks on with us. And so what we did is we wrote a grant to help fund the very first in the country family pet visiting center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and an organization in Cincinnati. We're actually located in Loveland, Ohio, and there's an organization in Ohio called Impact 100. And what they did, we applied for this grant, this $100,000 grant, and Impact 100 liked what we were trying to accomplish. And basically, they funded the grant for us, and as a result, the first in the country family pet visiting center down at Cincinnati Children's Hospital is going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony on September the 11th. So what that means is that not only children with cancer, but all children in the hospital that have extended stays, and I'll be honest with you, there are thousands of children annually that are in the hospital for at least a week or longer. And what the Family Pet Visiting Center will allow families to do is to bring a child's own pet to the facility. The child can come down to this shelter area and spend quality time with their pet. And I know there's many people who have pets, and I think everybody understands the importance of seeing your pet, being with your pet. And when you're separated from that pet, not only does that child have that separation anxiety, but sometimes the pet does. And there are many medicinal effects of seeing your pet, whether it's an emotional or physiological effect. So we're very excited that we were able to bring that to Cincinnati Children's Hospital with the help of Impact 100. And again, that's not really our core mission, but it does help all the children, and we are very, very excited about that that ribbon-cutting ceremony on September the 11th. So that's a really... Yeah, that's a pretty neat thing that we're doing, and maybe at some point, certainly we're not in the business of building pet centers, but, you know, Children's Hospital is very open to talking to other hospitals around the country in the event that they might be interested in doing the same thing.
Awesome. Yes, it's great to have all those you know, different avenues for people to get involved. And speaking of that, I want to thank you, Paul Jutter. Just seeing someone in the chat, they've just texted Lion on their phone. Thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, and also
thank
other
you.
Folks doing that.
Right, thank
so, you. Know, so I get if we get, you know, all the members in the audience, whether it's live or whether it's folks who listen to the archive, and, you know, I know about how many listeners per week that they come here, and thank you very much for being loyal listeners. So, as I said, just and we'll go through how to do it again later on in the show, how to send the text for the Lion, Courage Lion. Then, if all the folks just do one, you could really send I know quite a number of these Lions to these children who definitely will need it and appreciate it. And so one of the things we talked about, you know, off the air, when we talked about these things is the approaches to childhood cancer is, I think if my memory serves correctly, they're kind of similar to the way adults are treated. And I thought the conversation went that that's really not a good approach to treating children because it could be a lot more harsh for them.
Right. Well,
and do you think that the research ought to be more geared toward treating children?
Well, let me tell you first that, and probably most people don't know this, but chemotherapy was first developed as a treatment for childhood leukemia, and now it's used in probably 100% of adult therapy in treating cancer. And additionally, bone marrow transplantation also began with childhood cancer. So really, if people would step back and think about funding childhood cancer, it's very different than adult cancers. And I'm going to deviate a little bit and kind of tell you. For example, when a child has cancer, many times it has nothing to do with the environmental situations because they haven't been smoking, they haven't been drinking, they haven't been exposed to chemicals and that sort of thing. So sometimes these cancers are almost in their purest form. So it really gives researchers a very good basis to work from. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of what we have to treat children with is chemotherapy, and certainly it has kept thousands of children alive. However, the long-term side effects are just now even being discovered. For example, think about a little child, let's say 2 years old, and if they have, we're just going to use leukemia as a childhood cancer, they may have to be on chemotherapy for 3 years. All right. As a young child, their cells in their body are growing and changing every single day. And, you know, chemotherapy, sometimes it can be targeted, but at the same time, it eradicates healthy cells, and it might also change a lot of those healthy cells. So, unfortunately, as that child grows older, they have long-lasting effects. Something might be as simple as, you know, their visual might be affected. More importantly, their cognitive skills. And as they go through, you know, grade school and middle school and even into high school, their learning capacity and their cognitive skills have been severely repressed because of the chemo. So that's one thing that we also do is we look for gentler research treatments that we can help fund. And hopefully by finding these gentler treatments, we can mitigate some of the long-lasting effects that, you know, the chemo and some of the more harsh treatments have on these children. Because, and let me step back again, when I say what we do, we fund, like I said, promising and innovative research. And more importantly, it's seed money. It's the startup money for these researchers to get the necessary data that they need in order to go and apply for larger and larger grants. For example, if we didn't provide this seed money to this researcher, they would never get the funding. Because think about when you first started to look for a job, maybe as a young person right out of school, somebody might have said to you, oh, I'm sorry, we're looking for somebody with experience. And you kind of go, well, how can I get experience if you don't hire me? So it's almost, you know, it's similar with the researchers. If they can't get the funding, then they can't start the research to get the data in order to apply for the larger grants, because unfortunately, new and innovative ideas typically go unfunded. And I think someone once said that there's a saying, something about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over but expecting different results. You know,
I hear that
so,
at work a lot now.
yeah, right. So, you know, thinking outside of the box. We believe that this is the way to go. Interestingly enough, the very first research grant that Ellen funded was for $30,000, and it was to a geneticist. And this geneticist...
genetics is one of my favorite topics, actually.
Well, this geneticist was working alongside some oncologists and came across and I'm not a scientist, but came across a certain combination of a protein and a lysosome and some naturally occurring processes within your body and cell structure. And as a result, that research went on to get further and further grants. Now a pharmaceutical company was started. It's a small pharmaceutical company that was started to study that particular research. Today, it is going to clinical trials because it is so promising. And what it's doing is causing the cancer cells to actually go into their naturally occurring dying process, because every cell in your body has a dying process. And what this research uncovered is that cancer cells also have that process of dying, and it doesn't damage any of the healthy cells around it. So again, we funded this innovative research that probably would not have been funded. As a result, he was able to go further and further and further, and now, as a result of that, it's coming to clinical trials. And I'm very hopeful that this could be a cure for some types of cancer. So we follow our research. Again, we know where our money is gone. We follow the research, and we know what's working. So our strategy is working, and, we need funding. We need people to help us. I mean, 90%, we're very, very cognizant of our expenses, and we like to put 90% of the funds that we raise towards our mission. So that's another really important thing that we like to share with people, and I think that it's becoming more and more important in today's world as to, mm-hmm. where's your money going?
Exactly. And actually, I'm starting to think you're psychic, because that was actually my very next question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, ask it to me, Robert, because, I like to talk about those kinds of things. So,
you're saving me from having to ask it. No, I'm just kidding. But, seriously, that was actually my very next question was about the funds. And definitely let's continue on with that. But first I want to say thank you to Christy Jetter, who text 80100 and text the word lion so it can be sent to one of those children. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
For doing that. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's very kind of you and very generous. Thank you. We really appreciate that. And you know, there's nothing like seeing a little face when they get this. It's as I mentioned, it doesn't really matter what age, because when you're diagnosed with cancer, it's a very frightening experience. And I know a friend of my son's was diagnosed in eighth grade, and we sent him a Courage the Lion, and he slept with that little guy up until he had his surgery, and then he had him with him in the hospital throughout his entire process, because, again, it's a very frightening process, and having that little guy to, knowing that people are thinking of you and that they're there for you, it makes a difference. It truly does.
Messaging here. Sometimes if you hear pauses, I chat on the Facebook with people listening to the show and on the chat here for folks listening to the show. And sometimes people during the show will text me. So, so I'm definitely
asking.
Sure. Here.
If they have any questions, let me know.
Pauses, that's it. We were talking earlier about the funding and 90% of things of that nature. And I didn't mean to cut you off if I did. So if you want to continue on with that,
No, you didn't cut me off. Yes, 90% of our funds go directly towards our mission. And to date, we have funded $1.5 million in research. This year, we funded $235,000 to seven research, I believe it was five or seven, I'd have to look, at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and we funded one up at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. So right now our funds are very localized, and that's another thing for anybody in the Cincinnati, Ohio area and surrounding area, that we do keep our funds local. Another little tidbit of information is that Cincinnati Children's Hospital this year was ranked number one in the country by U.S. News and World Report for their childhood cancer research. One of their doctors there attributes in part that number one ranking by the work that Cancer Free Kids does, because a lot of times researchers, when they are looking for hospitals to go to and work at and do their research, they're looking to find where they can get funding. And because we're a niche, we're one of those organizations that help fund that innovative and promising research. So, Cincinnati Children's, there are many people that travel around the country and some from the world that come to Cincinnati Children's Hospital just because of that research standing. So something to keep in mind. I'm hopeful that a lot of your listeners don't ever have to experience that, because I can assure you, from an outsider, it's a very difficult process to go through. I myself have been blessed, and none of my children have been affected by cancer, but many of my friends' children have. And again, it's a ripple effect. You know, when I talk about some of these children who've been affected, it's not just the child themselves; it's their entire family, brothers and sisters. Go through the process along with them. I can tell you stories about, you know, not only from the child that's gone through chemo who's having learning difficulties, but perhaps their siblings might be as well, because they're emotionally affected and worried about their brother or sister that they can't mm-hmm. focus in school. And many times our education system right now, they don't take that into account, some of those extraneous things that are happening to these children. One thing that we're doing is we've applied for a grant in hopes that we can get an awareness program out there to help not only parents, but caregivers, teachers, educators, to help understand and be aware of maybe some of the symptoms of childhood cancer, as well as some of the long-term effects, you know, because a child might look fine, but they may not be fine. And if you just kind of bear with me, I'd like to just throw out some of the common symptoms of childhood cancer.
Thank you very much for, the more information, the better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, some of them might be a recurring fever, and this fever might come and go. Night sweats, excessive bleeding, unexplained anemia, chronic fatigue, easy bruising, dark circles under their eyes or paleness, abdominal pain, problems with balance. If they have a loss or a failure to gain weight, nausea, vomiting, persistent headaches, a recurring infection, persistent swollen glands or unusual bumps, any bone or joint pain or limping, bulging eyes or vision changes, something called white eye or just one red eye when photographed. And that's that goes to how Ellen Flannery, her daughter Shana, with this mm-hmm. retinoblastoma, and is that when her little daughter was again five months old in her little bouncing seat, and the light shined on her eyes, her eye was white, and it almost reflected back, and that was actually the tumor. So, you know,
wow.
Lot of children might have the symptoms that I just talked about and don't have cancer. But sometimes cancer can mimic a lot of those common findings that are benign. And I have to say, as parents or caregivers, you really have to trust your instincts, because sometimes these symptoms are so vague that your doctor might miss them, not intentionally, but Okay, let me step back. And this is another one that my son's friend, he was in the seventh grade, and he all of a sudden started having learning problems. And, you know, you're in middle school, and, you know, his mom and dad are thinking, wow, is the curriculum just getting too hard? You know, why is he struggling to having him tested and going through everything? And couldn't figure it out. Well, wasn't until eighth grade year at Christmas time that he had a seizure. And that's when they were able to diagnose him with a brain tumor. Now, nobody would have ever guessed that. So again, sometimes symptoms that are, you know, another friend of mine's daughter had a knot in the back of her neck, and you know, her pediatrician was like, they just didn't think it was anything. Well, my friend, she trusted her motherly instincts, went to different doctors until, yes, they diagnosed her with cancer. Again, she's doing well. She's in college now. But as a parent, sometimes if something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. And, you know, just, again, trust your instincts. There's some great physicians out there, and certainly no doctor ever wants to misdiagnose or miss something. But sometimes these just are so difficult that you just don't know how to figure out what that problem might be.
Got it. And I do see some folks here on the line that'd like to chime in or just listening. And if you would like
No, I would love that. Great.
Okay, great. And then I do have some money on the line. I do have a couple questions here that I've had prepared, or I could just bring them on now. But if you would like to make some comments or have some questions, you can call at 347-945-7428 and just push the 1 on your number dial. But if you are calling from Skype and you don't have a 1 button to push on it, to let me know you'd like to chime in, you can also, of course, leave me a message here on Blog Talk Radio on the chat, or you can also send me a message via Facebook. And also give a shameless plug for the Bard's Logic website. The website too at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. But you can also go there and go to the Get Involved page. And on the Get Involved page, you will find a link to the Cancer Free Kids website. And if you also go to the site and go to the Give page, you will also find a link there where you, because if you forget about either what the text number is or how to do the texting later on, you could still go to this show's website, go to the Give page, and there will be a button you can push that will send you to the donation page of Cancer Free Kids. So check that out. And also, if you are on Facebook, check out the Bard's Logic group and the Bard's Logic page. So check that out. So people can leave me messages there as well. So, I mean, I get some prepared questions, Alice, or I could just let someone in who has a question for you, whichever you prefer. You're the guest.
You know, Rob, it's your show. I'm going to let you decide how you'd like to do that. I'm open to either.
All righty. Well, tell you what, the audience may be very well tired of hearing my voice. So I will open up the mic here to, I believe, is Cindy, a very loyal caller, and helped me out with get some things together with some of the other shows. Thank you very much, Cindy,
great,
for coming to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
She's
hi,
so
Cindy.
Humble too, let me tell you.
Hi, it's nice to hear from you. Thanks for giving us this information, and we're very proud that somebody is doing this research and getting involved in, you know, the children and everything.
Well, thank you. You know, go ahead. I just one quick thing. You know, children don't have a voice, and children don't vote. They don't pay taxes, and somebody has to speak for them, and that's what we do when it comes to the research and trying to get the funding that we do to fund research for them. So
yes I know that, and that's why there's a lot of things that we need to do for children that they can't do for themselves.
Absolutely.
We're responsible for that. But I had a question. I was reading some data an article about some work that was done quite a while ago, actually, on a natural remedy to remove sugars from the diet completely. That means fruit sugars or any other kinds of sugars. And that they were having great results because the cancer cells have to have sugar to live and survive. And when you starve them of the sugars, they die. Have you heard of that research? Do you know of anything being done, you know, in your organization, or any natural cures? Are you working on anything like that?
That's a great question. Now, certainly I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but our research grants, no, we have not funded any research grants on that particular subject. However, I have heard of it. I have I lost a friend to breast cancer, and she was following that very, very stringently, because I have heard that sugars do, you know, that the cancer cells do feed on sugar. So I can't speak any more of that, but I have heard of that. And certainly I am a big believer in homeopathic. I think that, again, going back to, you know, the parent and knowing your child, knowing kind of their bodies, if you will, and understanding the normalcies that they might have, I think that limiting things in your diet is not a bad thing. I think moderation is also a very good thing. You know, a lot of times, like I said, the cancers in children, because of their ages, they haven't had a lot of that, or most of these children, I would assume, haven't had a lot of the environmental impact that we as adults, you know, because I know I've poured a lot of sugar into my body over the years, but children necessarily have not done that. So I can't really speak any more to it than that, in that, yes, I'm familiar with it. Yes, I've heard that. I do know that it is practiced by a number of people that I know who are either battling or have had cancer. They do tend to stay away from the sugar. But to date, we have not funded any of that research. Ours is a little bit different. And certainly, if you're interested, I can either get your information, or I don't believe, I'm trying to think if on our website we actually list the types of grants that we have funded. I do have a list of them, but I don't even know if I could pronounce some of the wording, because our researchers tend to try to put it in lay terms for us. You know, we have a panel of medical doctors and experts that help select what the most promising research might be. So today, no, we haven't done any type of food-based research. It's more, for example, there's one research grant that is trying to inhibit cancers that are vascular in nature. So if the tumor feeds off of your vascular system, they're trying to find a way that they can affect the tumor without affecting the vascular system that's surrounding that. Different genetic makeups for leukemias. I know that we're funding some retinoblastoma studies. Obviously, Shana herself, who sells jewelry, she actually funded a grant last year for $20,000 through the sale of her jewelry over a number of years for retinoblastoma, which is the cancer that took one of her eyes. But did that answer your question, Cindy? I'm sorry, I can't really speak to it any more than that.
No, that's good. And I was wondering, do you ever fund anything that is working on genetics to see who might have a propensity, or, you know, what children could possibly get cancer later on? And is there, you know, any kind of research in that area where we could maybe do some preventative things to keep children from getting cancer?
That is a great question. And I'll be honest, I don't think that I could speak to that. I know that we are not at this point doing any type of genetic research. We're actually doing research on particular types of cancers to either learn how to prevent them or learn how to find treatments to kill them. But as far as understanding the propensity from a genetic perspective, no, we haven't, and I apologize, that's one of my dogs barking in the background. We have not. she wants to come into the room I'm in. But we have not done that actual genetic testing at this point in time. Because right now we're looking to fund the research that is you know, going to kill the cancers and find out the cause and treatments for those cancers that are affecting children.
Well, listen, dogs and children both do not like it when we get on the phone. We don't.
Oh, I know. One of the, and actually, she's a rescue, and she hasn't been with us long, so she doesn't know her manners yet. She's still in the learning phase because my other guy, he's very quietly sitting outside the door. So I apologize.
That's okay. Part of the organic experience coming to Bob's Logic is you sometimes never know what you're going to hear. You know, dog barking, door slamming, my daughter coming into the room. Daddy! Oh, Laura, you come on the show.
Well, listen, I just want to say we appreciate you. I know you're not the only one out there that is trying to, you know, raise money and try to get a handle on this cancer stuff.
You're right, Cindy. You know what? There are some phenomenal organizations, and there are so many great organizations that people can support. And I encourage people to, you know, if there's an organization that you're interested in, do a little research on them, talk to them, and certainly there are so many organizations that are that do keep children in the forefront, and absolutely, there are a number of organizations, and I feel very, very blessed and very, very fortunate that I am a part of one of them.
Yeah, and you know, I know that it's hard. It's a tough thing to be a fundraiser. I've been there before, and it's my least favorite thing to do of anything. But at least you know that your money, you're raising money to do an absolutely wonderful thing. And it's well worth any effort or any negative responses that you could get, you know, whatever the drawbacks are to fundraising, it's all worth it for what you're doing. So thank you so much for being out there and doing what you're doing.
Well, Cindy, thank you, because, you know, you're right. I mean, sometimes, especially when we hear difficult stories, and you know, sometimes it can be a tough day at my office, and we have tissues everywhere. But
yeah,
it is.
You can imagine.
It can be very difficult, but it can also be very rewarding at the same time. I mean, you know, when Robert played that beautiful song at the beginning about butterflies. We have one of our major fundraisers. It's called the Butterfly Walk, and it's always done. It's always held the Saturday before Mother's Day, and the little girl that it's in honor of, her name was Hannah, and she loved butterflies. And unfortunately, she had a type of brain tumor that you don't survive. And so she lost her battle, and her parents started the Butterfly Walk in her honor. And so, you know, I hear that little butterfly song, and there's a lot of good. And it's I'm usually standing there crying most of the time because it's a celebration of the children who've fought and won their battle. It's a celebration of the children that are currently undergoing treatment and are still fighting. And then it's also a remembrance of those little people that we've lost. And so it can be very, very difficult, but at the same time, very rewarding. And So I thank you and all the listeners and people that are supportive of any organization that helps children, because there's so many wonderful organizations out there. And as you said, Cindy, they have to have a voice, and it's got to come from those of us that fight for them in whatever capacity that might be.
Absolutely.
So I thank you for your question. I'm sorry I couldn't necessarily address it, but
No, you did. That's not your area of fundraising and funding. So
right,
that's understandable. You have to do what you know comes to your plate. You know what?
Exactly. Yes. But certainly, you know, there's. There's so many, I'm sure there's so many different researchers that have lots of different ideas, and I know we fund the ones that, come across, and I'm going to try to find that here in just a second, and maybe I can read some of them just to give people an idea of some of the types of research that we do fund.
Okay, and real quick while you're looking on that, one of the things I like to do here on the show is if someone puts something in chat and they, don't or can't call in or something of that nature, if they send any message to put in from Facebook, I'll go ahead and read it off in the show. And this is from Christy here in the chat. Thank you for your participation, Christy, in the show. And she puts preventative measures such as diet and lifestyle modifications are more efficacious for cancers that start later, like in adulthood. So thank you very much for your contribution here to the show. Appreciate everyone when they participate, either chat or, of course, calling in. And if you'd like to call in, I know I see some people that are calling just to listen. But if you also like to chime in, 347-945-7428. I have another question, but first we'll go off the list. If you got the, if you have it there, Alice.
Go ahead. I'm still looking, and you can
still
ask me a question.
No, that's fine. And one of the things we also want to talk about and ask about is we did touch on it some, is how are some of the ways, and we'll talk more, and just so we can reiterate about the texting. But what some way the folks in the audience can get involved, such as sponsorships or third-party fundraising events?
And I'm sorry, you might have to repeat that because I did find it and I was trying to read some of it.
You can get back to the question. Go ahead with your list.
All right. Well, let me tell you what one of the grants is called Identification and Targeting Mutations of a Novel Tumor Suppressor SETD2 in Pediatric Cancer. Another one is called Coagulation Therapeutics to Prevent Pediatric Cancer Metastasis. Innovative Targeted Therapy for Treatment of Acute Myeloid Leukemia. Here's one, and again, I don't have the descriptions with me. They would be at my office, but that gives the detail of these particular ones. But this is, can targeting fat cure MPNST? Another one is called targeting bone marrow niche to eradicate childhood acute myeloid leukemia, AML. Another one is identifying survival factors for diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, DIPG stem cells. And then another grant is titled A New Leukemia Treatment Using an Old Drug. So those are just some of those of the actual titles. Certainly we have the in-depth information about these research grants, but those are at my office, and some of the medical terminology I might not even be able to articulate or even pronounce. Certainly don't understand a lot of it, because we have to get these researchers to put just these titles so that we can understand a little bit about what they're doing. So I hope that might help to maybe some of the medical folks that are out there that might be listening. Certainly if anybody would like any more in-depth information about these grants, be more than happy to provide it to them. They could just get in contact with us via our website. That would be great. or via my email.
And that website, it would be www.cancerfreekids.org.
Right, and my email address would be alice@cancerfreekids.org.
Awesome, and I do have a question here from Harriet in the audience, and thank you very much, Harriet, for your question. And she has a specific medical center, and she asks, do you team up with other research centers in the world? For example, Israel Hadassah Medical Centers has posted being up to date with cancer research and success with children.
Thank you, Harriet, for that. That's a great question. Cancer Free Kids does not, but I can't speak to, for example, Children's Hospital, because as I mentioned early on, there's 230 children's oncology groups that do collaborate, and they are around the world. I don't know necessarily all of those 230. There's a good possibility that, for example, since Cincinnati Children's is number one in the United States, they very well may have communication with other, with that particular hospital or research center. I don't know. I mean, I do know that they do collaborate, and I know on one of the research grants that we funded just this year, there was a collaborative effect, and it had to do with let me see if I can say this. There's a little girl who lost her battle with a brain tumor, and her parents donated the tissue, some of the tissue, obviously, with the brain tumor. And it, my understanding is that the cancer tissue these cells were still alive, which is pretty critical from a researcher's perspective in getting this brain tumor that basically kills any child that gets this brain tumor. But this researcher was struggling because the cancer cells were dying off, and they needed them to be alive so that they could research and study them. And I know that this researcher reached out to a number of other researchers throughout the country, and again, that collaborative effect. And one researcher, I think it was in Washington, was able to give some suggestions on what they could do to try to keep this tissue and these cancer cells alive. And as a result, because of that collaborative effect, they were able to sustain the cancer cells, and they were able to allow them to grow. So now they can study it, and that's what we funded, so that they could look at that particular cancer that kills all children that have it. So as far as, you know, internationally, absolutely, I do know that there are international connections, but I don't know which hospitals per se they might be. That's a great question. I apologize, I can't address it directly.
Yeah, I was just thinking there. I wonder if there's anything, any kind of research being done on chirogenics, you know, in line with, some kind of treatment or storage or whatever of cancer.
I do not know. Good question. There's a lot of great information out there. I'll be honest, I don't know everything about it all. I mean, there's a lot more information that's out there than I can address.
No, not a problem. That's why you call it Bard's logic, Bard, master of jack of all trades, master of none. I digress a little bit here, but they're like, so where'd you come up with the name of the show? I said, that's kind of what I call myself, Bard, jack of all trades, master of none, and logic, because I like to address issues, through logic. I'm a big Star Trek Spock fan, so, that's part of it. So I'm a big geek. But that's okay. But we were going to talk more about, and thank you again, Harry. And also for the people, and I do see some new folks listening in, if you like, Alice, if you could tell us again about, kind of remind the folks about the text that people could send to donate one of those stuffed animal lions to children newly diagnosed. It would take some reiteration for the folks who are coming on new can hear it.
Okay, well, we call it the Courage Project, and Courage the Lion is a very cuddly little stuffed lion, and he's got a little black, if you go on sendcourage.org, you can see a picture of him, but he's got a little scarf around his neck that says Courage, and for every $10 donation, it allows us to give a Courage the Lion stuffed animal to a child recently diagnosed with cancer. And the way that you could do that is to text the word lion, L-I-O-N, to 80100. Again, that's 80100. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. I'm obligated to say that. And we would appreciate that, and all the children that receive our little Courage the Lion certainly appreciates it too. Now, there's another way that you can do it if you're interested in sending someone that you know a Courage the Lion. You can go on to our website, which is www.sendcourage.org, and you can purchase a Courage the Lion for $20. And by purchasing Courage, it allows us to send a Courage the Lion to a child. So if you know somebody that, as we like to say, you know, who could use a little extra courage for whatever reason, then by purchasing one and sending it to someone you know, it also allows us to send one to a child. So thank you for that.
Definitely, folks, check that out whether you're listening live on the show. It's real easy. Just go to your cell phone, text 80100, that's 8100. Text in or type in whatever lion, and they'll give you directions to do that. So we'd really appreciate it. Or if you listen to the archives, hearing it again, go ahead and get to your phone while you're listening to it on the computer or other ways of listening to the show, whether it's downloaded. You can listen to it in your car. Well, don't text in your car. There's a disclaimer for you. But,
yeah, please. No texting while driving.
Yeah, no texting while driving. Wait till the red light. Then do it. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, we really would appreciate it, you know, for all the folks out there listening to this live, and as I said, also in the archives. And then also I get here from the chat, thank you, Christy, and she put a link in the chat. She said, also, and sign up to donate bone marrow. Is that something that they
can get
the site in and do or get information about? And she did, thank you very much, Christy, I put a link in the chat, and one thing I will also do is I will take the link here and I'll add it to the Bard's Logic page on Facebook, so folks listening in can access that link later. And so let me put this in here.
Oh yeah, that's great. Thank you. Wonderful thing. You know, during our butterfly walk that I mentioned earlier, we do have a blood drive and a bone marrow sign up for people that would be interested, because, you know, that's a great way to get involved, a great way.
I'm just typing as we speak. Is there anything you'd like to chime in? I keep the mics open there, Cindy, so if there's anything you'd like to chime in while I'm doing some typing here, go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing, this is Alice, one thing I would like to also mention, I know you mentioned it early in the show, but what a lot of people also don't know is that the month of September, which is just right around the corner, is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So, you know, please reach out to any child organization that you might have a passion for, and if you don't, maybe you might want to look into Cancer Free Kids a little bit more and find other ways that you could get involved. Certainly, we always are looking for volunteers. We're looking for businesses that may want to have a charitable component to something that they may be doing, a fundraiser that you might want to initiate. Everybody seems to know all the other different months, but lots of people don't know about September. So keep in mind that September is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and maybe there's ways that you might want to get more involved or help out.
Great. Definitely check that out, folks. And, yes, I put in the description that it is that next month. And I also Oh, you're welcome, Harriet. Put the link, and folks can find the link if you're listening to this on the archive. You will be able to access the link from the Bard's Logic Political Talk page. And if you go there, while you're there, check the rest of the posts that you'll find, and just click the little like button and like the page. And also, if you'd like to have other updates, you can also go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk group, and you can ask to join, and I'll bring you in. You can be part of the group as well. That's some ways also to get in touch with the grassroots. Go ahead, Alice.
No, I was going to say, too, you know, that you mentioned that about Facebook, and certainly we would love it if you're interested in, you know, liking Cancer Freaks on Facebook, because
I'm so glad you brought that up. I was thinking about that, and I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you.
You know, we also, I mean, that's just a great way to follow along, and we like to put out information and certainly welcome information from other people, and it's a great way to get informed and stay involved. And I love, you know, as I'm looking at your website right now, Robert, some of the little faces of our cancer-free kids that are survivors. Love those pictures. People that are listening may want to look at those, because they're very inspirational. At least for me, they are. And you know, that those are these are the faces that I can see. But there's so many others that we fight for every single day, because we do believe that ultimately cancer research is what's going to save these children's lives, and it all begins there. And I'm hopeful that it. Some point I am out of a job doing what I'm doing, because we have found a cure, and I do believe, and that's what we believe at Cancer Free Kids, is that the cure is there somewhere. It's in that innovative, out of the box thinking, and it's just a matter of uncovering it and finding the funding to fund it.
Yeah, that's my idea. Well, I'm trying to remember that movie with Sean Connery in it, where they. He found the cure for cancer in some
Amazon in the jungle.
Rainforest.
Right.
Yeah, in the jungle, and get destroyed by deforestation. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
See, folks,
I remember. I can't remember what it's called, but I do recall seeing it. It was a great movie, actually.
Yes, it was, and it really tugged at my environmentalist heart. So, see, folks, we shouldn't be tearing down the rainforest, because you could very well have the cure for cancer in there. Like, you know, they say life imitates art sometimes, so there you have it. So one of the other things I've seen here, and then we can move on to some of the particulars of the website, because I have had the opportunity to look at some of it, especially the resource page. And, man, there's just a lot of links and articles and videos and things people can go to get the information. So, you know, I'd like to talk more, you know, about what people can find on your website. But also with the audience, you know, members can get involved, is I also see sponsorships. You're talking about sponsorships. If we can, you know, give some detail on that. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, first let me tell you about some disclaimers about our website. We do know that it is a little outdated, you know, but again, when I talk about that 90% of our funding goes directly towards our mission, so that's why our website is a little busy and not up to date. It was created a number of years ago because, you know, we want to put the money into the research, not necessarily here for our website. So it is a little busy, but we do like to try to keep people up to date on some events, but also on our Facebook page. That's the way to do it. We have a nice little video of a little guy that's a cancer survivor, and his mom kind of walks you through that process. We have our Send Courage link that, you know, you click on that and it automatically takes you to our Courage the Lion, and you can see. And then there's a drawing of our Cancer-Free Kids Impact 100 Family Pet Visiting Center at Children's Hospital that I referred to earlier, that will be opening on September the 11th. We have some other events on the front page that as I mentioned, our butterfly walk. We also have a golf event that is hosted on behalf of Cancer Free Kids. We have a marathon that folks are running up in Naperville in support of Cancer Free Kids. So the Night for the Fight is a high school youth-based group of young people that we share with another charity. They started it last year because they wanted to make a difference, first of all, but they also wanted to know where their money was going. They liked the idea of being able to say, wow, here's a research project that part of my funds went into. This program for Athletes for Alex, a little guy lost his battle with cancer, and his two childhood friends came up with an idea to collect used equipment. And there's an organization that buys that used equipment back and donates the money to Cancer for Kids. So that's kind of our front page. We right now have something that we are calling our, because of football season, we call it Tackle Childhood Cancer. And it started a couple weeks ago with some youth football invitational games, and it benefited Cancer Free Kids. There were a lot of different fundraising events that occurred. This year we started with something new with the NFL Punt, Pass, and Kick competition, and that was pretty exciting. So we had a lot of kids that came out to participate. For those of you that might be older, you might remember Jim Breach from the Bengals. He's a big supporter of Cancer Free Kids, and he came out to help kids with the
awesome.
NFL.
I would have loved to met him.
Well, yeah,
man,
I'm sorry, he wasn't.
When I was a kid,
yeah,
not to age myself,
yeah, he wasn't there. But well, you know what, Robert? I'm sure you will, because he's around at a lot of our different events. So I'm sure
awesome.
You'll meet him at some point. Mike Nugent, who is the current Bengals kicker. He is a supporter of Cancer Free Kids, and he was at one of the events as well. And interestingly enough, both of those guys participated in the Punt, Pass, and Kick when they were little kids. So,
awesome.
Yeah, so that was neat. And so those fundraisers are now, we just had our last youth invitational. The next is, as I mentioned, with September being National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, we've got a number of businesses and restaurants that are supporting us by asking for donations for a football that you can, you know, do it in honor of, in memory of, and you make a donation, and then in turn that money will be donated to Cancer Free Kids. So we've got a number of sponsors and businesses that are doing that, whether it's a physician's office or a chiropractic office, or we've got restaurants that are also doing that. And then we have an adult flag football game that we, again, new this year, that's going to be held on November the 2nd, and we are working to find a really neat venue for that experience. And we're hoping that we can get businesses to send teams, to play a fun flag football game. And then after that's over, again, we've got a number of businesses that we're currently looking to perhaps get some sports bars to have some friendly competitions to raise money for cancer-free kids during the football season. So that's something that we're working on as well. And then for 2014, of course, we are looking for businesses that might want to support an organization like Cancer-Free Kids, and whether it's for a specific event or just overall for everything that we do. So if anybody out there listening has a business or works for a business that you'd like to help with, that would be phenomenal. I just read an article about a fundraiser that somebody could do if your business is doing a wellness program, and a lot of businesses out there are doing them, and employees have these little pedometer, I think that's what it is, a little, basically it counts your steps. And
I think it's pedometer.
Yeah, maybe somehow we could kind of get a group of people to say, you know what, I'm going to get people to sponsor me for so many steps to give me, you know, so many dollars or so many pennies or something, and maybe do it on behalf and for Cancer Free Kids, and do
there
that during the month of September. You know, that might be a great way to support support us. So if anybody also has just other fundraising ideas that they'd like to do, certainly, again, reach out to us. We'd love to help you and give you some ideas on other ways that you might want to get involved. And if you're doing a fundraiser, because a lot of the funding that comes in, quite honestly, over 60% of our funding is what we call third-party fundraisers. You know, we have schools that do, they call them penny wars. We have children that might have a bake sale. We have one little guy. We have one little guy that every October, he does a little Halloween kind of spooky trail, and he raises money. So, you know, we have a lot of great support, and everybody can make a difference. You know, one person can make a difference, and whether it be really small or really large, and It's great when you have young people who are learning how to give back their time or their talents, and even fundraising for organizations that might be near and dear to their hearts. So those are things that we do. You know, you can kind of go through our website. Like I said, it is a little outdated, unfortunately, but there are lots of different ways that you can help. Actually, you could, if you want to donate more on there, you can. We do have, as I went through earlier, for anybody that's interested, you know, the key facts about cancer that that affect you. If you're a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a child care provider, you know, things that you might want to look for to help in that awareness program to help a child that might have cancer and doesn't know it yet. And again, we have to be their voices and have to help with that process.
And I want to say thank you to you, Tessa, for putting this in the chat, that you are charging your phone or something like that, but you will keep the text number handy. And that text number, folks, where you can make a difference right now as you're listening to the show, whether it's live or listening on the archive, by texting 80100. That's the number you put in, and then type in Lion, and then follow the directions. So you can send a Courage the Lion Courage the Lion, I'll make sure I get that, to a child. And so thank you very much, Tessa, for doing that. I appreciate it. And
thank
Harriet,
you. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. And Harriet has is asking if we could have an address contact on how to donate. Is there something where someone would send a check, or would online be the best way, or
You know what? Either or. Certainly, you can go online and do it, or if you prefer to do a check, we are located at 420 West Loveland, and that's Loveland Avenue, Loveland, Ohio, 45140, and I'll repeat that. It's 420 West Loveland Avenue, Loveland, Ohio, 45140.
Awesome. And, thank you very much.
And certainly, if you want to donate that way, and we'll get you a letter out for your tax-deductible donation.
Well, great. That's awesome. And I did find that movie about the trees and finding the cure for cancer in the trees, and with the ants. I think I remember the ants were eating the sugars, and then some kind of, when they ate the sugar, some kind of excretion from the ant was getting in the sugar, And so that excretion was caused a chemical reaction or something to create the, you know, the cure or something of that nature, if my memory serves correctly. But the name of that movie was in 1992, and the name is Medicine Man. And
Yep,
Medicine Man. I put a link there on the Facebook page for folks can go to and check it out. And I rent it and watch it. And I mean, it was a great movie. I loved it for many reasons. So
yes, it was.
It's an older movie, but still a good one.
I'm glad you looked that up. That way, you know, that kind of gets at, because otherwise you think about it, and you just can't remember it.
Okay. And, yes, folks, I just had a question here in the chat. Someone sent me a message, and I will put down on the Barge Logic page also the text and the text number and the text you should put to donate. So I will have that on the page as well. But if you are not a Facebook user and you would still like to donate one of the Lions or any other donation, you will be able to find a link to the donate page by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Go to the give page. Where you know, there will also be some organizations such as the Angel Heart Farm on there, but you also would have the link to the Cancer Free Kids donate page where you can donate the Lion from there as well. And of course, you'll be able to access their website too. So there will be multiple ways for people to be able to get to it if you know, they don't have it written down or things of that nature.
And Robert,
well,
we appreciate
that. Thank you
very
much for the question. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I do see, folks, that we have a little bit more than a half an hour of the live portion of the show. I do like to take the last 5 minutes or so to just do my closeout. So if anyone would like to listen in or if they'd like to call in at 347-945-7428, you are welcome to. And also, we do keep the mics open. So unlike some shows, we don't let you on for just 10 minutes and then shut you down. So anyway, that being said, Cindy, are you still on the line? I see you're holding there, but does that want to give you an opportunity to chime in or ask any other questions you may have? Cindy?
I'm here, but I'm listening on mute so that I don't make – I'm kind of messing with my kitchen and cleaning my kitchen while I'm listening, so – I didn't want to make all that noise in the background.
God,
but,
I appreciate that. We've had some of that technical difficulties on the show here before. At least when the show first started, people were like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing dishes or something.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Cindy, how'd that go?
Yeah, you shouldn't do dishes while your mic is on, that's for sure. It's very disruptive. But anyway, I would like to say that I've come up with a couple of ideas of my own, so I think I'm going to try to get something done this winter to do with my orange sales. You know, we have our little orange stand up here at the highway, Benny and I, my grandson and I, and my husband is good enough to let me have a couple rows of trees so that I can make some income with Benny, and Benny gets to learn how to work and run a stand, and I see some things we can do there to maybe earn some money for that one. And I have also, ever since I heard the one the other day about the lady that, you know, was doing the ministry with the horse ranch, you know, I'm going to help her too.
That's a wonderful program.
Yeah, so I'm hoping I can do some helping this year. It's important that we get involved in stuff like that.
Well, Cindy, that's very kind of you. That's very, very, very kind of you. And you know, it's also about awareness. It really is,
yeah,
too, to help people understand. You're a very caring person, and it's very kind of you to even think of that and consider and any way that we can help you, let us know.
Well, it is. Half the battle is awareness. And so thank you, Robert, for putting these guys on and giving us the information, because basically we would not know. It's you don't hear very much about cancer things, unless it's the big ones, like the lady, the women's one, you know, with all the
right.
pink ribs and everything.
Right.
That's very high profile.
Exactly.
But
you're right. You're absolutely right. Right. And you know why? I mean, a large part, you know, children's cancers, for example, the retinoblastoma, the cancer of the eyes that that Shana had when she was a baby, maybe only 200 children annually might get that type of cancer. So you're not going to have a big pharmaceutical company fund research, because they're not going to get a return on their investment for that particular drug.
Yeah.
And imagine if that is your child. Imagine if that's your niece or nephew or your friend's child, and they say, oh, sorry, we really don't have a lot of research
yeah.
about that. And it really, it is, it's a very heart-wrenching scenario for parents that do
I have not had to go through it, other than I had a cousin that had breast cancer, and she survived it. And that's the only, you know, I lost an aunt to breast cancer also, but my own children I've not had to, and my grandchildren are healthy thus far, and I'm just praying that God will keep them healthy and that they won't ever have to get, you know, have to have any kind of treatments or get cancer of any kind. And, you know, my family is tired of hearing me with all my nutrition stuff.
Oh, but you're right on the money. I'm a very big believer in a lot. Absolutely, I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah,
don't talk to me
about nutrition.
Thing.
My eating habits are abhorrent. I'm trying, though,
well, you know,
but my eating and sleeping habits are abhorrent.
My family has always historical. We've been in the sun all our lives. My dad was a surveyor on a party. He was a party chief on a survey crew for the Florida Power and Light Company. We were water skiers. We were at the lake all the time, skiing, always exposed to the sun. My husband, my son are farmers. They're always in the sun. My son is a professional fisherman, spends all day in the sun. And my grandson is now also beginning his fishing career, and so
wow.
he's always in the sun. And when I'm constantly at them about their sunscreen, because that's the kind of thing that when a child is exposed to too much sun, gets sunburns and all, they're not going to see the results of that right away. It's going to be later on down the road. And so it's very difficult to get people to see down the road. And so my family gets, you know, they're, you know, my daughter, she's a rancher, a regular cowgirl. She is always in the sun. She's also a skier. She's still doing her professional, well, not the professional, but she's still skiing competitively. And so, I fight with her constantly to put her sunscreen on. And so my family is, you know, like, they're tired of me, but it's so important. And that's another thing that we need to bring awareness up of, you know, things like nutrition and what you're exposed to, chemicals and molds and all those things that enter into the picture, that we've already found out the information, but we can't seem to get it through people's head. But you've got to make a change in your lifestyle. If you want to reduce your risk, you've got to change something. You've got to do something about it. You have to be proactive. You can't sit around and wait until it happens and then go, oh, is there a cure yet? You know, you have to kind of be ready for it. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
And Cindy, real quick, I'm going to add a few things here, and then the ladies can go ahead. And Christy in the chat put in about, and this is good news, says children are screened for retinoblastoma at every well child check, from their first contact with a pediatrician in the hospital to their second, fourth, and sixth month checkup and up. So that's good information. That's good to know. And then also I found some information for you, Cindy, from the Angel Heart Farm. And, of course, you can access this through the show's website by going to a link that is provided there. And there is a donate section where it does two things for Angel Heart Farm. One is there's a children's sponsorship that folks can do, but also they do have a, and you go down to the donate part, and there's wish list that's underlined, and you click on the wish list, and it has just some items, just some general items that, of course, you know, they're surrounding, you know, doing things with horses and stuff like that, like horse spray and horse treats and stuff like that. But just very simple things that people can get from this list that's on the Angel Heart Farm website. And, you know, like, I mean, one of the things is colorful or coloring books and things like that, you know, that the kids can use and stuff like that. So it's a great list. You know, check it out. It's under the wish list on the donate portion of the website.
Mm-hmm.
So those
it's a great organization.
Yeah, definitely. Had them on the show a couple weeks ago, folks. So for those who had not had the opportunity to check it out, please do. And, of course, don't forget also to text 80100 for the number and then put in lion so you can send a little cuddly stuffed animal lion to a child recently diagnosed with cancer. And, of course, we all will appreciate that as well. And, of course, if you can help in other ways, that you heard tonight from Alice, that'd be, of course, greatly appreciated as well. So
thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. And that's, I mean, that's what it's for. We want to get the, as you ladies have pointed out, as get the word out. It's definitely very important. Inform the folks, and of course, get as many people as we can to, you know, donate to the cause. So it's really, you know, it's important stuff as well.
Yep.
Go ahead, Cindy. I didn't mean to interrupt if I did.
You didn't. I was just agreeing. No, I was finished. I had, you know, made my spiel. And
Well, as long as you don't get on me about my eating and sleeping habits, Cindy, I think we'll be all right now. You already do that, I know.
I really can't say anything about your sleeping habits because mine aren't a whole lot better.
Okay, good.
So I'm not going to go there.
Well, I don't know. You're cleaning your kitchen at 20 minutes till 12, so hopefully you'll get to make it up tomorrow from a sleep perspective.
Oh, honey, this is early for me. You don't know.
Oh, yeah, we're up till 2 a.m., aren't we?
I'm a 10 to 2 girl.
Indeed.
Terrible.
Well, I do see, folks, that we have just about 20 minutes left of the show here tonight. Thank you those who called in and participated in chat, and I see those who are listening in on the switchboard are calling in as well. And definitely take some time and share the link with other people so they can get, you know, this information as well. They can hear about these wonderful organizations, you know, hear about Cancer for Kids, see what you could do for them. And as Alice has pointed out, it does affect everyone. I mean, whether, you know, when it happens to a child, you know, you may know, have a, you know, a child yourself or a niece or a nephew or something of that nature, your friend's child or something of that nature. So it does affect everyone.
Well, and also, you know, Robert, also, like I mentioned, the research that's done in for childhood cancer research, it does move into the adult therapy. So really, childhood cancer research helps everybody because the researchers can study it in somewhat of a purer form than when it's in an adult. Because, you know, if I get cancer, my cancer could be very different because of all the different environmental and lifestyle factors that have changed mine compared to a child when it's, for lack of a better word, almost in a more pure form because it hasn't been tainted necessarily. Because, you know, some of these children, I mean, there's one little guy, and I think he's about five right now. he actually, they diagnosed, he had cancer when he was in utero.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of this is, like I said, it's because they're little, and some of these cancers, the researchers can get to early and really make a difference in getting that that bit of information that maybe, because mine might be completely diluted with all of my lifestyle factors, whereas a child doesn't have that necessarily with some of these cancers. So as I mentioned before, again, bone marrow and chemotherapy were first developed for childhood cancer research. And interestingly enough, the research grant that we funded 8 years ago that's coming to clinical trials this year, it's being focused on pancreatic cancer and brain cancer. One reason for the brain cancer is because it actually will go through the blood-brain barrier. It will permeate it, whereas a lot of drugs don't do that because your brain protects its body. But interestingly enough, the research is going to be conducted on adults. Even though it was founded for childhood cancer, it's going to be first tested on adults. So what we do affects everybody, truly.
And, okay, thank you. I was just reading something, Alice. And if you could, I got a message here. And for the new folks who I see it entered the chat, is that if you could repeat the address folks could send the donations to, they'd appreciate
okay.
it. Thank you.
Okay. Again, it's Cancer Free Kids, and our address is 420 West Loveland, and that's Loveland Avenue. So that's 420 West Loveland Avenue, Loveland, Ohio, 45140. Again, Loveland, Ohio, 45140. Hopefully that was slow enough.
No, that's good. And then, folks, if you're listening on the archive, you got that. What's one of the great things about the archives is you can also rewind it. So what I could do also, if you email me the address, again, I may already have it in my email.
You,
I can put it
well, actually,
on
it's,
the,
it's on the
page.
Bottom of my signature line. So, yes, you
awesome.
Do have that on the bottom of my signature line. That's got my email address, our website. Feel free to put that information there as well. Phone
great.
Number.
I'll do that.
Anybody that wants to reach out to us and would like to speak directly with me, be more than happy to do that.
Awesome. And then, and Christy put in the chat, we were talking about this, touched about this a little bit earlier, when you're talking about the retinoblastoma, is that she puts you can check it with the lights on. So we
yes.
just look for a red reflex in the eyes. If there is a white reflex instead of the red, it is due to a tumor, white, blocking the blood vessels, which reflects red color back from the light source. So you see this with simple camera photos of the flash, and you actually mentioned this earlier, as those pesky red eyes in the photos are messengers of free – well, there you go.
Yep.
Photos are messengers of tumor-free eyes, so love them. So if you see the red glow in the eyes on photos, be happy about seeing those because that means the person in the photo is
their eyes
retinoblastoma free. So
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
There's a way
exactly.
of putting a positive spin on on something people normally don't like to see. There's a silver lining right there.
Well, and you know what? A lot of people don't know that. Lots of great information and simple things. Like I said, as a care provider, as a parent, anybody that interacts with children, you know, just these simple things. Just it's always good to have that information because I believe that information empowers people, and with that empowerment, you can change lives and you can help people. These children that like I said, as a parent or as a care provider, and some of these symptoms, you know, that are recurring that you might think nothing of. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, we're all busy. If you're a working mom or a working dad and you're working, you're doing your thing and your kids have got their lives, and my son came to me one day and said, Mom, you know, I hurt my finger playing volleyball. I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's wrap it. And so we wrapped it and didn't really think anything of it. I'd ask him about how they're doing. Oh, fine, fine. Well, later down the road, I mean, we didn't go to the doctor, but you know what? It was probably broken because his finger's a little bit crooked now. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, son. I didn't do anything more about it. And he's like, oh, no big deal, Mom, you know. But, I mean, we wrapped it, and he didn't complain about it. And I kind of let it go because, you know, he wasn't complaining, wasn't, you know, bringing it to my attention. I'd rewrap it every couple of days and made sure, you know, it wasn't swollen and all. But as a parent, mm-hmm. Sometimes we're so busy that, you know, and this is another interesting point, too. Adults, you know, we're real attentive maybe when they're little, but when they're teenagers, because, you know, sometimes between that age of, like, I don't know, maybe 13 to 18, they're pretty much finished with all their shots. You take them to the doctor once a year for their physical, whether it's a really comprehensive one or not. But at the same time, that is a key age group that sometimes goes misdiagnosed because, you know what, they're teenagers. They don't want to go to the pediatrician. You might not have another doctor that you're, you know, a family doc that you're taking them to. And another one of my sons, I noticed a mole on his arm, and it was a black mole. I said, you know what, we're going to the dermatologist. Mm-hmm. He raised so much cane with me. Mama, you're overreacting. I don't need, there's nothing wrong, blah, blah, blah. We go to the dermatologist, and she said, no, I don't like the way that looks. And so she cut it off and did the biopsy, and fortunately it came back that it was nothing. But, and I still hear about that from him. Yeah, you overreacted. There was nothing. But, you know, as a parent, you start to clue into this. And I think Cindy mm-hmm. alluded to the fact, you know, you're out there in the sun, and a lot of times, you know, the kids don't always, you know, put on the sunscreen, and we as parents have to, you know, I made him go. He didn't want to. If I would have let him not do it, if it was something, it could have manifested and made a huge difference in his lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot we can do with information, and I love that she shared the information about the eyes, because how many people know that?
Well, it's good to have a doctor and a nurse in the chat. So, Christy,
absolutely.
And Harriet's a nurse. So, thank you very much. I think you're a nurse, Harriet. I think you mentioned somewhere in the chat earlier about some nursing. And yes, Christy is a doctor. She was making note about it's primary care. And after 2 years old, or 3 years old, rather, that the risk for it is mostly gone.
For the retinal
blastoma. You know, but I'm sorry, for retinal, right. And so,
yeah.
But at least you could always, as you said, you always check with photos. You take a photo if the red eyes are there, you know.
Well,
that's
another reason why some of these cancer or cancer research on children are so underfunded, is because sometimes it is age defined. It, you know, these children, it might just be, like you said, maybe till 2, 4, 5 years old. Well, and if the incident rates are very small, not a lot of people are going to be that interested unless it directly affects them. But I can assure you that, you know, if it's your child or if it's somebody that touches your life, you're going to be interested. And it doesn't matter if there's only 5 or 1. That's 1 or 5 too many, and that's why that's why we do what we do, is to make sure that you know, we can try to save every child, you know, until every child is cancer free, because it's if we've got nurses and physicians listening in, they know all too well what I'm talking about, because I'm sure they may have had to diagnose or had to tell a parent, I'm sorry, your child has cancer, and how difficult is that? How tragic is that?
Mm. Well, and as we pointed out earlier in the show, that, you know, now is that every day? 38 children every day will be told that they have cancer?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Fortunately, the statistics are going up that more children are surviving.
That's a 33% about.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's heart-wrenching. It really is. Because, I mean, as adults, our number one priority, regardless whether it's political or whether it's medical or what have you, is to take care of the kids. You know, I mean, that's our number one priority, to make sure that, you know, they're going to, you know,
that's
they're
right.
going to be able to be healthy, and the world's going to be left as a good place
that's
for them.
That's our future.
Yeah.
That's
but,
right.
You know, it's our kids. It's our number one priority.
Yep.
You know, so, well, you know, and it's a shame that there's so much research, you know, and it's so extremely underfunded, and there's, you know, there needs to be more research on it and why there's not. And the one statistic we didn't talk about is it childhood cancer the number one killer of children?
Disease,
mm-hmm. Yeah, number one, you know, disease that kills children is cancer.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes, it is, by disease. I mean, I think the number one killer of children overall is, and don't quote me, I want to say accidental, but by disease, cancer is the leading cause of death in children in this country.
Wow. I'm just typing here. I apologize. You take care of that, Harriet. I'm talking to Harriet in the chat.
So then you're actually chatting with folks online then as you're also speaking with some of us, I guess, is how this is working?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I have the guests on the
how
show.
How many screens
and then,
do you have up, Robert? How many screens do you have in
how
front
many
of you? Just one?
Tabs I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 tabs up on my computer.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. But you only have one screen? Maybe you should have three screens. It makes it a little bit easier, perhaps.
There you go. Yeah, I have to keep going to tab. I've got a couple for the website, you know, my website for the show, one for your website, Facebook, the chat, the studio. What's this one? One's for Medicine Man when I looked that up as we're talking. And then the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation.
I'd like to. I know you said that there's a physician that's here. Does he or she have any suggestions or thoughts or comments that they would like to share that maybe that everybody else could benefit from? Or
well, if I did talk to her in the chat, and she said she was charging her phone, but if her phone is charged, you can welcome to call in. But if she wants to call in, it would have to be within the next 8 minutes because when we get out of lifetime, I can no longer bring any calls. Now, there is something, and I use this a lot on the show, is called the extended period. And for anyone who calls between now and the time the show ends live, which is in 7 minutes, at 347-945-7428, they can chime in and listen in to the extended version. Unfortunately, after that, people will go back to the archive, which I appreciate them going back to the archive to listen in. So, yeah, it's, you know, Chris, if you can call in and give us some information, myself and Alice would appreciate it if you get your phone all charged up. Again, it's 347-945-7428. We've got about 7 minutes, as I said, of lifetime, and that's the only open window for this night, to call in to chime in or to listen into the extended version. So we'll see if we'll be able to hear from her on that. So, but for those who aren't going to be able to make it to the extended version, and we'll see how far we get into it, thank you very much for coming to the show tonight. And please go to your cell phones, if you have not already, and put in for the number 80100. And then put in a lion in the message box and send that and to send just for only $10 a Courage the Lion to a child. And, of course, you know, put the disclaimer in there for me, Alice.
message and standard message and data rates may apply.
Right.
And you will see the charge on your monthly phone bill. It's a one-time charge, but you can use your phone bill as your tax deductible receipt. But also knowing that you made a donation to a little child or a bigger child. I mean, like I said, the young man that's friends with my son is now a freshman in high school, and he still has his Courage the Lion. And we sent it to him last year when he was in eighth grade. So it really doesn't matter. And we have one person that unfortunately has been touched by cancer in a lot of ways, and she sent it to her friends, you know, women that might be diagnosed with breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
or just anybody that might be struggling. So anybody
right.
needs that extra little courage.
And also, folks, and I believe we may have Krista here on the line, and also, folks, share the link with folks. They can listen to it either on their iPhone, their smartphone. They can download it to a CD and listen to it in the show in their car. You can share the link via email to people, just copy and paste it from the browser and email folks so they can listen to it as well. Because this is just, it's great information. They're great organizations. They do a lot for the kids. So please, we really ask you to do that. So let me see about opening up the mic here. It says that the mic is still open. Christy, is your mic live? Looks like another 513. Let's try something here. Maybe it wasn't working. Yes, I got another 513 number here. I don't know if there's some kind of technical difficulty there. No,
well,
that's
certainly.
Not.
If anybody has any, if anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. Be more than happy to talk with you or email me. It's alice@cancerfreekids.org. If you go on our website, which is cancerfreekids.org, and go to the contact area, it will actually show you all of our various email addresses, our phone number, our address, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you, or if you want to get involved in some way, we'd love to have you.
Okay, great.
And Robert, I know we've only got a few more minutes left. I just want to thank you very, very much for this opportunity and for being a supporter of Cancer Free Kids. Really, really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome, and definitely, you know, look forward to working with you in the future. You know, on things
Absolutely.
Got going on there, and we have a meeting next Thursday.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Let's see here. I'm typing something real quick. Sorry about that, Alice.
That's okay. I know we've only got, gosh, another minute left. Is that it? About 2 minutes, and then
yeah,
I guess
got
somewhere
a couple minutes of the live portion. So, if folks weren't able to call in, we'd still appreciate you coming to the show and listening in and sharing this tonight and sharing the information. So, whether it was in the chat or calling or from Facebook. We really appreciate it. So we'll give it a couple minutes just in case anyone would like to chime in and see if we want to do a little bit of extended version. I know it's late for you, Alice, and you got to get up early in the morning.
Yes,
and
I do.
Start anew.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
I said absolutely yes, I do, every day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm definitely not that's the thing. I'm not a morning person, and I stay up late, but sometimes still have to get up early. But tomorrow, fortunately, is not one of those days. So I'll go ahead and, well, thank you very much. Yeah, they have to go as well. I know it's late for a lot of people, so thank you very much. So I will end tonight then, as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. So thank you very much, everyone, for coming in. Look forward to seeing you again on the next show here on Bard's Logic. So have a good night. Take care.
Bye, Alice. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And
bye, Robert.
Go ahead. Oh, bye, Cindy. But still, for a few minutes at least, if you're on the line, enjoy the music by Aubrey Ashburn. And you can hear more of her music, as you know, Cindy, at www.aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y, Ashburn, ashburn.com. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.